Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. We just finished Philadelphia's WWDB AM 860 out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thanks to Brent Kronberger, the producer there, Marianne Costello, Sal Tartaglia, and myself. The guest was Logan Landers, 100 Yards of Football, if you ever want to get on that one out of Atlanta. Now we come into Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Wrestle Talk Across the Country, hosted by my good friend, a brother, a mentor, Ralph Williams. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, playing co-host tonight. Smoking Jim Frazier's out. And we got a great guest in Bob Cook. We'll get into that here shortly. 347-205-9631. This show is 45 minutes. You wanted more time, we gave it. Thank you to 96 people online right now. We'll get to your questions. If you missed this show and you want to catch it later, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Ralph, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, you can introduce that nice guest you brought through tonight.
Yeah, I'm doing good, Mark. Thank you. And I can be reached at ralphwilliams737@gmail.com, Facebook, and Wimkin, and Twitter. I also can be, my shows can be seen on my YouTube channel, Sports Corner, The Way I See It, and also on my Facebook page, The Way I See It, Sports Corner Wrestle Talk page as well. And our special guest tonight is Bob Cook, former professional wrestler. Bob, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you having me on.
Bob, tell the audience how you got started in wrestling. What was your which federation did you start out in, and how did you get started in wrestling?
Well, I became a fan in 1975 when I moved to Florida from Michigan, and I just always wanted to be a wrestler from the first day I saw it. I thought, man, I want to be part of this. Obviously, I had no idea how to do it. I looked up Google, but I wasn't around in 1975, so I had a hard time finding it. And I just got lucky. I moved to Tampa in 1981 after graduating from high school with a friend with the hopes of becoming a wrestler, because I knew that's where championship wrestling from Florida was taped at the famous Sportatorium in Tampa for decades. And I went there with no idea how to be a wrestler. And I just got lucky one night coming out of the Fort Homer Hesterly Armory, which is where they had wrestling every Tuesday night for years, where Dusty Rhodes won the world title. Dory Funk Jr. won the world title there in 1969. So it's a historic building. And there was a flyer on my car that said, become a professional wrestler. The Great Malenko Wrestling School is what it was for. And I went the next day and started training, and now my back hurts like crazy. Thanks.
What was one of your best matches, and with whom?
You know, my best matches in my world were with a guy I trained. His name was Rick Ryder. He went with me a lot. We did TV for WCW back in the 80s and early 90s, and, you know, where we had to lose a lot. But we got paid. No one ever hurt us. Keep that in mind. But I trained him in wrestling. Him and I had the best, in my opinion, for me, the most fun matches ever. But if you want to go by somebody I had the best matches with a famous person, it would be Dean Malenko, who, in my opinion, is the best.
Yeah, Dean Malenko definitely was a good wrestler in his time. He was the man of a thousand holds, and he really knew how to put a hold on you. And when he did, you knew about it. And he was an excellent wrestler. It was sad that he had to quit when he did. And now I believe he's a trainer, a coach, working with AEW and stuff like that. So it's great that you went with or was able to wrestle with Dean Malenko and train with him as well. Back in when you were wrestling, what was it like? I mean, I know you started in the independents. What's your thoughts right now, Bob, on the independents? Do you think that they're doing better now than they ever have been, or do you think they're still the same?
I think they're still the same, because what happened, or what it was in my day, I hate using that term because that makes me feel old. Oh, wait a minute, I am. But the reason today you see, in my day, you knew there was independence, but you didn't know what was going on independence. You know, you knew the show you were doing, and that was it. even though there was independence going all around the country, you weren't aware of it. Now you're aware of it. That's all. That's the only difference. You just know because of YouTube and Facebook and all the different avenues of information. You know where all the you know there's stuff going on all over the place, and you can watch it, or God forbid, not watch it, because I don't like to watch most of it. And there's some that are doing great, and others are just the same old thing, you know, guys, world champions in a company that runs once a month or once a year and booking their friends, and, you know, it's all the same. But like
yeah,
in my
like
day,
here,
there were some
have,
that did really good, some that didn't draw at all, you know?
Yeah, like here in Pittsburgh here, we have a wrestling company called KWSA, Keystone Wrestling, or Keystone State Wrestling Association. They, or Alliance, their owner is the champion. And every week or every other week, they're doing wrestling. What they have done, Bob, is they have done, they do fundraisers. Like, for instance, you might be in the Boy Scouts or in the church or the VFW or the local fire hall, and you're looking for a really good fundraiser to raise some money. That's what they do now. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's a great thing. It's something different. I mean, you don't see too many of those most of the time. You used to see spaghetti dinners and raffles and things like that. You really never saw too much of this, but that's what they do here, and they survive pretty well. They're having one this week at the Boy Scout headquarters in downtown. They're having a match this week, and it's to benefit the Boy Scouts. So, you know, that's what they're doing right now. And the other big one here is the International Wrestling Cartel. It's owned by Justin Plummer. Once in a while, he gets some guys like Matt Taven. He gets Enzo Amore. He gets Braun Strowman now is wrestling in the independents. And he's been coming to some of the IWC matches and the Hardys and some other folks he's had in some of the matches. They perform just about every Saturday all around the Pittsburgh area and sometimes in Ohio and stuff. Those are our two biggest ones here. And we have a few other ones that have cropped up over the years. And so I've had the fortunate to interview a couple, but I'm having some problems with the top two I just talked about, trying to get them on here and also trying to get them to work with me because I'm starting up a TV show in Pittsburgh in September called Talking Wrestling. I'm starting up a podcast called Talking Wrestling as well. And I'm trying to get them involved, and they seem to not want to be involved. So that's fine, you know. But, yeah, that's where the state is there, Bob. Bob, nowadays in wrestling, do you like the content that you see now as compared back in the day, or is it like day and night, or is it, you know, a whole different thing?
You know, I'm just a wrestling fan. Even though I was a wrestler for years, I'll always be a wrestling fan, and I don't take it seriously. It's not going to change my life whether a show is particularly good or particularly bad. It's not going to cure cancer if I ever get that. Oh, maybe it would. I don't know. But the point is, I love wrestling, and I watch it, and if something is good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. It's not going to affect me one way or the other. I like a lot of the old stuff, and I love a lot of the new stuff. You know, every era, I always say every era had good, bad, ugly, and sad, and it had, and that's the way it is. You go back and watch, I used to love Championship Wrestling from Florida. They'd have an episode where Terry Funk was on it, but then Hank Stout Calhoun would wrestle two guys that didn't even know how to lace their boots, including himself. And then later in the show, you'd have Steve Kern against Bob Orton Jr., and you thought you saw the greatest thing ever. So every show has good and bad. It's up to you which it is to you. Everybody sees things differently. Like, there's some people by the name of Bret Hart who says Triple H never had a great match. Obviously, Bret has a drinking problem when he watched Triple H matches, but that's his issue, not mine.
Anyway, I tell you what, I'll tell you a little story about Haystacks Calhoun, guys, Mark and Bob. Here's a good one. I was at this the old Pittsburgh Civic Arena. It's now called PPG Paints Arena, and it's brand new now. The Civic Arena has been imploded or torn down, and when I was there, when I was younger, it was Bruno Sammartino versus Haystacks Calhoun. He was the only wrestler in the history of wrestling, and Bob might even know this, that ever body slammed Haystacks Calhoun. And he body slammed him right outside the ring, and they had to bring a crane in and wait until the end of the wrestling event. They had to bring a crane in to actually lift him off the floor. They didn't have a stretcher big enough to carry him off to get him out of there. After Bruno body slammed him. So,
I remember a famous picture in the wrestling magazine. I remember the famous picture in the wrestling magazines of Bruno picking Haystacks Calhoun up.
Yeah, okay. Mark, Mark, do you have any questions for Bob? And then we can get started with our discussion.
Yeah, well, you know, Bob, I mean, we're just so blessed to have you on here and being a part of the WrestleTalk across the country on Thursdays. So props to you on that. But what I want to tell you about is, you know, when you look at these independent wrestling federations that are out there, nobody seemed to give the WWE really a run for its money. We saw WCW try to do it. We thought maybe AEW can do it and stuff like that. With the way technology is today, with the way where, you know, a lot of foreign money's coming into the country and stuff, do you see in the near future with the disarray with the WWE now, with Vince McMahon out and Triple H in there, will the WWE be selling? Is there another federation that can concoct some of these old wrestlers that have been let go by the WWE to maybe start something to combat the WWE?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh,
Mark, okay.
I personally don't think the WWE is ever going to sell, but that's just my opinion because they'd be crazy to sell now that Triple H is in charge because you finally got a guy who appreciates wrestling history, has a knowledge of it, and has a vision for the future that's a little bit more positive than what Vince had, I think. But we'll see. Everything is a work in progress. No company will ever compete with WWE. It's like a guy with an iPhone trying to compete with whoever makes Star Wars movies or something, you know?
Right, right. But when you look at with the way they're making phones today, I mean, the iPhones could be almost like a camera for a movie flick. The way they're, you know, with the way technology is. But that's what I think where the problem lies is. I mean, could The Rock come into this equation? I mean, you see everything he touches turns to gold. I'm not looking at guys like, and I don't want to knock them, you know, that they're mid tier guys, but if you get some A-listers that have been around, made some good money in business or acting and stuff like that, or prominent on that Rock level, couldn't they come up with a federation to give the WWE a run for their money?
I mean, anything's possible. Look at AEW. They had promise. They promised all kinds of things, and they're delivering a lot of garbage, regardless of what people think. I mean, blood turns – they always just say red turns to green. Well, in this case – a lot of blood isn't turning into high ratings, that's for sure. It's actually turning people off.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we can get started here. I want to talk a little bit about AEW right now. I mentioned last night on Peter Blake's show, and this is an actual fact that I got from Conan. AEW is $50 million in a hole from last year, and their TV ratings slightly going down. They have a lot of talent that's not being used properly, which you knew was going to happen. And now Warner wants to make budget cuts, and they're talking about cutting out AEW. Guys, what's your thoughts on that? We'll start off with Bob.
Well, I mean, I don't buy into a lot of rumors. I mean, who knows what the real truth is. But when you see what AEW is doing in the ratings, they're not getting better. They're not building like they should be. They're going down every week, it seems. Or staying steady in some cases, but then like that Friday night show. I mean, I don't watch any of it. I look on the clips on YouTube, and half the time I shut it off. Because AEW promised professional wrestling, and AEW promised to treat it like a sport, and they've done the exact opposite, and more often than not treat it like a joke. They've got joke characters like Danhausen, a character I love, but when you put him in the context of professional wrestling, if you just flip in the channels, you're like, what the hell is this? Now I know why I don't watch this crap. And I don't mean to be knocking him again. I think he's a hilarious character, but when he's in the wrestling ring, it turns into a joke, casting spells. And I mean, I get their fans buy into it, but their fan base isn't that big to begin with, and they're alienating anybody who might become a fan.
Right.
Mark.
And you know, if I could piggyback on that, what you bring up, Bob, is an interesting thing, but you know, I think, and you know, being a ring announcer for the Extreme Professional Wrestling years back, and our competition was ECW and Paul Heyman, I can honestly say, you know, I think the problem with wrestling, and I've seen this numerous times, I didn't see it so much in the 80s and 90s, but boy, do I see it more now, I think it's failure to use your whole stable of talents to push them to the forefront. We've seen this in more ways than one the last decade or so, where they prop up 3-4 guys and everybody seems to be a jobber or middle of the pack type of guy. Case in point, Kevin Owens, great mic skills and everything. I like him, but they don't know how to push this guy. And I think that's where, and then all of a sudden you know, at least he can talk on the mic, but there's been a lot of guys have been let go here. Bray Wyatt and CM Punk left and stuff like that. And the problem is you're bringing in guys like Brock Lesnar that are once a month type of guys. You're not pushing the stable. And you know, we've been watching wrestling a long time, and I'm sure you have too, if not longer, to a certain extent, where, you know, the Intercontinental Championship made something with a Rick Rude or a Jake the Snake or Honky Tonk Man, and they were constantly propped up. Here you got one guy, and it's like a jobber every week, and then we got one guy stepping up to the Clash of Castle or, you know, Hell in a Cell or something like that. Any thought to that?
Well, I mean, it's always the way it has been. Hulk Hogan was the man in the day, and they changed who he feuded with. He'd feud with one guy, Don Morocco, then King Kong Bundy, and then Big John Studd, or whoever was the flavor of the month that could draw the best. Who they thought could draw the best. That's always the way it is. Wrestling, they always want the main stars, and you got to have your filler. And the guys you mentioned, they might not appeal to the masses. You know, I mean, wrestling is like it's like anything. They throw it against the wall. If it sticks, they try it, you know, push it. And if it doesn't, they'll move on to the whatever else they think might work. Because wrestling fans today are the most fickle and evil creatures on earth, is the reality. I despise today's wrestling fans. You could have the greatest show of all time, and you're going to have a group of people who just hated it. Like, I thought SummerSlam was great. But I see people say, oh, it's the worst SummerSlam ever. It's like, are you serious? What do you want from wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
People take it too seriously, first of all. It's like people who complain about a movie that's being remade drives me insane. Like, they're making Roadhouse again. People are like, oh, my God, I can't believe they're going to ruin it. First of all, Roadhouse wasn't a classic. I liked it only because Terry Funk was in it, okay? Terry Funk is the greatest wrestler of all time. I love Terry Funk. I liked the movie because he was in it. He should have been in it more, but he wasn't. But the point is, who cares if they remake the movie? Just see it. I've never had a gun to my head to see a movie. You know, who cares if it exists? You know, but people make a big deal about the dumbest things, which drives me insane.
We're Terry Funk, XCW, too. You know, great talent.
Yeah, Terry Funk was in Over the Top also with Sylvester Stallone. He was the bodyguard for the Millionaire Father. Yeah.
He was the Paradise Alley, my favorite wrestling movie of 1978.
Let's talk some more about AEW a little bit. You know, I know they have a lot of talent, and they don't know what to do with it. Now with Triple H taking over WWE, there's talk about a lot of AEW wrestlers wanting to come back now to the WWE because of the of Vince McMahon no longer being involved, and there were some wrestlers that he wouldn't bring back. There's wrestlers now that have left that he said will never be in the Hall of Fame. You know, a lot of those guys. You got some guys in AEW right now, like the Young Bucks, I hear, are not very pleased with what's been going on because Tony Khan had the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, he had Cody Rhodes and Chris Jericho were all executive vice presidents. And then they were wrestling, and then all of a sudden Tony Khan started taking over, and he started bringing in some other people. And he kind of pushed them out of the decision-making. And I guess a lot of these guys now don't like the way they're being positioned, the way things that were promised to them, like Bob said, you know, this was promised to be wrestling, and now they're turning it into a joke a little bit. And, you know, with the Danhausen and some other things, do you see AEW guys turning into another WCW where WWE could probably buy them out, or they end up dissolving or anything like that if they continue to do what they're doing? Mark, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I totally agree with it. I mean, I think that's the problem right there. I mean, you know, the problem with the whole thing is I've noticed this with companies is they get money back in it or they put a lot of money into a product and they want to reap their profits overnight. Things take time to build up. I've got a motto I learned a long time ago starting in radio that, you know, we know it's a cutthroat business. Money comes and goes, but relationships are priceless. And if you can build relationships and communicate those things and hold people accountable and encourage, I think it goes a long way. You don't see that a lot in today's thing, and that's why you're starting to see these things kind of falling by the wayside. And like Bob alluded to with AEW and stuff, everybody thought, you know, this was going to be – but I don't know what happens along the line. And case in point, we, you know, you mentioned guys in AEW and everything. You know, I love the Young Bucks. Go figure.
Yeah, Miro too, Mark. I forgot to mention he's not real happy right now. Yeah. He wants to leave. You know, so Bob, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts are there's a lot of guys that are never going to be happy. They all think they deserve more than they deserve, and when they don't get what they think they deserve, they want to go somewhere else, and then there's going to be unhappy there as well. Remember those guys, FTR? They thought they were the greatest tag team of all time. Yeah, they're both great workers, but when they don't get their way, they pout and they whine and they cry on Twitter and they make a big point like they should be this or they should be that. It's professional wrestling. You do what the boss asks. As long as the checks are clearing, shut your mouth and cash them.
That's right.
That's my opinion, because I despise guys. They're constantly complaining, no matter where they go. CM Punk can't let it rest that he's got millions of dollars in the bank because of Vince McMahon, but Vince McMahon and the WWF are evil. He wouldn't even be in AEW if it wasn't for the millions he was able to sit on all the years he sat home pouting about how he was mistreated in WWE. Here's a reality check, CM Punk. If you were in the wrestling business 30 years ago, they wouldn't even let you in the door as a jobber, let alone a big star you became. So sit on that money and be happy with it. And you got a good-looking wife, too. Be happy with her, too. I would be.
Yeah, and I hear she's coming back, too. I think I don't think with AEW, though. I believe she's coming back with someone else. I think NWA or something she's going to start.
She's producing that show, that Wild Wrestling. She's helping produce the Wild Wrestling, which is coming on CBS next month.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Wow. She's getting involved with that.
Ooh,
that's
happens
it.
To
yeah,
have
that women's.
Several friends of mine on that show, and I'm proud of all those young ladies. Yes, I am.
All right, let's get started about the WWE. I read something today about Ezekiel, and I know that they're talking about, they're saying that whoever plays Ezekiel here, supposedly it's the old Elias, more or less. And from what I understand, they said he has run his course, and they're either going to start him up in a different character or he's going to go back to Elias. What's everybody's thought on that?
I mean, I thought Elias was hilarious in the beginning.
I don't even know why they even switched his character up. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I like about Elias. He's a Pittsburgh boy like us. So, you know, with keeping him in there with Kurt Angle and Bruno Sammartino and stuff like that, you always got to give. Yeah, I didn't understand the whole thing. I mean, I like him. You know, when he first came out with the whole gig, it kind of reminded me of the Honky Tonk Man with the guitar and everything. You know, and I think when you look at a guy like that and his talent, you know, there's certain people that when they start to make the switch from heel to face, they're better off staying heel. And he was a guy that just should be just a heel, you know, on that. It fits him perfect. I don't know what your thoughts are upon that, Bob.
You know, it's they try new things, you know. They know better than we do what's really going on. Like, Roman Reigns is one of their top merchandise sellers, so anybody who thinks Roman shouldn't be where he is doesn't understand the big picture, which is piles of money. The entire purpose of professional wrestling is piles of money. If you got one guy that's making piles more than the next guy, that's the guy they're going to keep in the spot because those piles of money keep growing, as opposed to someone like Ezekiel or whatever who maybe have a stack of money. You want the piles, not the stacks. The more piles you got, the better off you are, but you always stick with the guy with the piles over the stacks. That's the way wrestling's always been, you know? And they know the numbers. Right, they know who's selling. They know what merchandise sells. They go through the Walmarts and see, well, geez, this guy's been on the show for 10 years and he hasn't sold. Okay, this guy sells as soon as he gets on the show. They know what they're doing when it comes to that stuff, and the fans have no clue. They'll say, well, push Kevin Owens. Great. Kevin Owens looks like the guy who mows my freaking lawn, except I think the guy's in better shape than Kevin. And he's got a much trimmed, a much neater trimmed beard. But that's just me.
Oh, my. No, I mean, you know, they haven't figured out what to do with Kevin Owens. They've had him, you know, doing a bunch of stuff. I don't think they have any clue. I'm hoping the Triple H, Bruce Pritchard, and the rest of this gang with the WWE decide to start putting together some, you know, some real rivalries again, and you know, and not having the same matches like on SmackDown. You know, I'm tired of seeing the New Day going up against the Viking Raiders now. That's starting to get stale. And then on top of that, Xavier Woods keeps getting hurt. First he's the king, now he's not the king, and now I found out today, guys, that now the WWE Triple H wants to get rid of the 24/7 champion. I cannot wait till he gets rid of that. That I thought was a waste from the beginning. And what's your thoughts on that? We'll start off with Mark.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, you know, they got to save face somehow. And, you know, now we might see Sasha Banks coming back. You know, who knows if a Braun Strowman will be coming back. They have to do something. But, you know, for all the people they let go, I mean, it's amazing, you know, when you have to, you know, kind of swallow your pride and put somebody else, like you said yesterday in Tampa with Peter Blake, Ralph, you know, somebody's always got to clean up somebody's mess, and sometimes it's a lot to clean up. You need more lawn bags.
Absolutely.
You know, you need a lot, you might need a bulldozer to clean up the mess. But I look at Vince McMahon and I'm saying, you know, he's a wizard at turning things around and everything, but what the hell were you thinking? Are you another Deshaun Watson here? If you got a problem with your other head, more so than the one that's sitting on top, then what you got to do is you buy yourself cookers every week or whatever and combat that problem. But it's unbelievable what these guys are thinking. It's costing them a lot of money.
Bob?
You know, when it comes to people being fired or whatever you want to call it, we don't know the inner workings of what's going on. You could have a character like Bray Wyatt, who everybody thinks is the greatest character of all time, and I love the character before he turned into the Fiend. But maybe he was behind the scenes, not the person you want to work with. That makes a huge difference in wrestling. I'm friends with the legendary Steve Kern, who used to work for WWE in the developmental areas, and he always told me,
yeah,
they're not looking for the best wrestlers. They're looking for the best people. It doesn't always work out. You got a guy like Velveteen Dream, who I thought was going to be a superstar, and turns out his private
light was dark.
Turns out his private light was darker than we want to know it, allegedly. Allegedly, don't sue me. I got the money anyway, so hey, I'm a loser. But anyway, the point is, we don't know what's really going on. It could be something as simple as a guy not showing up on time, being told over and over to do a certain thing that he refused to do, or he just wasn't the guy they need in the position they were putting him in. So they get rid of them to get rid of the headache. Because with all the people you got behind the scenes, there's a lot of headaches that can be caused, and the less headaches you got, the better off the entire product is. So who knows?
Well, here, if I can jump in on that, Bob. So in other words,
yeah,
isn't there background checks on these guys? If you got a guy in your stable, I mean, I would think you're doing a background check on the guy or something. I mean, a reputable – I'm not talking about if you got a traffic ticket or something – but I would be doing a background check to make sure if somebody's coming into my stable, at least, you know, he's reputable enough that I can count on. Accountability has to come into this.
But you never know what's really going on. You never know. Someone could be the most humble, gracious, appreciative person you ever met. But then when you get them in that spot, their life changes. They get money. They get ego. Everything changes. So you start becoming... they become something that you didn't even know. Hell, I married a beautiful woman when I was young, but she turned into the most evil creature ever to walk the planet. You ever seen the Exorcist where she's walking up the stairs upside down, backwards? That's what my wife turned into. I didn't even know who the hell it was by the time it was over. Thank God it's over, but I didn't know. So the point is, someone on the surface and then who they become based on success, that changes people. Not always.
Well, and you bring up a great point.
He's the nicest guy you ever want to meet. He's on what?
Right. You bring up a great point. And working, you know, in XPW at Rob Black and everything, I remember when I first started there, I came up from San Diego, and I auditioned for the ring job, and, you know, and then they would, you know, come out, and we'd go to venues, and they start throwing pizza boxes, and I was kind of like the heel ring announcer, and I can remember that some of the wrestlers had a problem with it, and I'm saying to myself, God, if you got a problem with a heel announcer getting, you know, stuff thrown and everything, I mean, then you gotta really up your act here. And some of these
right.
guys just don't. And you look at it in the WWE, Ralph, and Bob, when you look at it, is they might have the brawn and all this, but there's no mic skills. Look at Roman Reigns. He had to really work at it, and he got it to the point where he came in with the whole tribal chief thing. And, you know, that should be a story on a show that we do with Smoke and Jim and Clayton and Bob here, Ralph. You know, give me top five guys that can handle a mic, that can handle a crowd. That should be a thing, and break these guys down. Who would be the number one?
Well, I could tell you this much, guys. Miz is real good at using the mic. You can tell that. And then
yeah.
Hulk Hogan was always good with the microphone. And he always had a really positive attitude, even when he was a bad guy. I mean, he still, you know what I mean, came in, and he had good mic skills. Macho Man Randy Savage had good mic skills. Roddy Piper, he wasn't afraid to pick up the mic and say something. You know, so there's a bunch of them out there that were really good, but some of them, like Mark said, are just not, you know, they have no idea. It's like they clam up when they get the mic in their hand. And I mean,
yeah.
I know a lot of people like that. And broadcasting and all that, you know, I DJ on the side. I do weddings, I do parties, and I do things like that. And I know guys I've worked with DJing that won't even pick up the mic and talk, or barely. And I don't even know how they survive. So, I mean, you know, it's just it's the thing with that. People get scared. I've never been scared to get up in front of somebody and talk. It's
right.
something that's in my genes. You know, and I learned it in the Boy Scouts a little bit. I learned it in school. And I never was afraid to step up in front of somebody and say something. And I'm still not, to this day, it's like nothing to me. I just grab the mic and talk. And, you know, I do it in church. I mean, you know, I have people that are the lector or the liturgist in church, and they stutter on their words. They don't know, you know, they're afraid to be in front of the microphone, and they go, ooh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things like that. So, you know, but you have
hey,
to...
Hey, Freddie from Bucks
too.
County,
think,
Pennsylvania. I'm sorry to jump on. Freddie from Bucks County, PA, coming in and basically says, guys, listen to the show live, great show. I just want to know what your thoughts are on this guy, because we thought he was going to get a big push, and they didn't do anything with him. Rob Van Dam. Wow, that's a good one.
Wow,
Bob,
yeah,
you want to take
is.
It? We'll give it over to Ralph after this.
Gave Rob Van Dam a pretty good push, made him the world champion. Then he got trouble with Sabu for having dope on him. So, I mean, where do you go from there? That's not a knock on Van Dam. It's just a reality of what happened.
Yeah. No,
yeah, there's
– I was going to go that same route, but you took the lightning right out of the bottle on that one. Exactly. I mean – the push and then that whole thing with Sabu. Yeah, exactly. Ralph, any thoughts?
I'm glad Bob told us that, Mark, because I didn't know that. I mean, I know Bob.
Yeah, I heard
Van
that,
Dam,
yeah.
You know, yeah, and I heard he, you know, so now I hear he's been sort of in and out of Impact Wrestling and doing independent work. He was on NWA a couple times recently. You know, he's been around. You know, and so has some of the rest of these guys from the ECW days. Tommy Dreamer was working with Impact. You got Rhino working in Impact, or at least he was. And, you know, and NWA and all those places, you know. So, but, yeah, Rob Van Dam, he was a champion here and there in the WWE, and he was in WCW. He's been around a lot, you know. And how about Ken Shamrock? He came from UFC
yeah.
MMA fighting. And, you know, how about him? I mean, you know, so there's a lot of guys that just, you know. Go ahead, Bob.
You know, Ken Shamrock was a pro wrestler before he got in MMA, right? He didn't
oh, no,
MMA.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that
wrestler.
One.
He was trained by the great Malenko and people like that. He was in a wrestling show back in
Whoa.
The late 80s. He was a pro wrestler long before he was an MMA guy. A lot of people don't know that. He wasn't an MMA guy who became a pro wrestler. So there's that bit of information you can look up.
You know what I was going to ask you, Bob? Was Dean? I know Dean Malenko. Was he part of the ever part of the? I'm not saying the original, but was he ever part of the Four Horsemen?
Yeah, he was.
I know Warren Anderson was.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of thought so, but yeah.
Yeah, he was part of the Four Horsemen, and then him, Chris Benoit, Rey Mysterio,
Barry Windham, I think, wasn't
Eddie,
it?
And Eddie Guerrero formed that Filthy Animals or something. Yeah, yeah, and it was Rey Mysterio without his mask. So
yes, we're getting a couple comments.
Yeah.
On Daniel Bryan, yeah, that was a shock when he left the WWE. And I think the only thing I can see on the Daniel Bryan thing, and maybe, Bob, you could throw a comment on Ralph on this, I think Vince didn't like small guys for some reason. So that was the only thing. I mean, that Yes movement was huge. But I don't think, you know, I think that was the beginning of the end with Daniel. I mean, I don't know. That's just my thoughts on it. Anyway. You guys can throw your two cents in on it.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
They made him the world champion. He had one of the greatest WrestleMania appearances ever, whatever WrestleMania that was, where he beat Triple H in the first match and came back and won the main event, won the world title. What more do people want?
Yeah.
He got his time in the sun. And then he got hurt, and he got hurt, and he got hurt. And the WWE, as bad as people think Vince McMahon is and as evil as he is and perhaps may be in some elements of his life, they still want to protect their wrestlers as much as possible. They wouldn't allow Daniel Bryan to wrestle. So he quit and goes to AEW, who not only allows him to wrestle, allows him to do incredibly dangerous things to a guy who is injury-prone every time he laces up his boots, if he wears boots. I don't think he does. Most guys don't nowadays, and it pisses me off. But the point is, he went to where he could be allowed to do what he wants to do, which is great. That's life, freedom of choice, freedom of your own ignorant decisions. But they didn't allow him to do it in WWE, so he went to the AEW, so he could go crazy. And now how many times has he been hurt since he's been there? He just came back, didn't he?
Yeah,
he's hurt again.
No doubt about it.
Oh, now he's hurt.
Ralph,
yeah,
he's hurt again. And then we got a comment from somebody that's listening in Texas.
Yeah, one other thing, too. Everybody forgets about Kofi Kingston. Remember when Kofi Kingston was going for the belt, and Vince McMahon said he's a B-plus player? Well, he said the same thing with Daniel Bryan, and look at what Daniel Bryan did. Look at what Kofi Kingston's done. I mean, you know, and like Bob said, they did win world championships, even though they were small or weak, or Vince McMahon downplayed them a lot. There were a lot of guys that Vince McMahon downplayed that ended up being really good wrestlers and winning titles and putting butts in the seats, and I mean, it was crazy. Go ahead, Mark, with that.
Pensacola, Florida, saying, you know, and I'll get to the Texas one here in a minute, talking about Kofi Kingston, has one of these original T-shirts when he first came in. It kind of looks like a Brazilian type of a flag type of thing, but yeah, I kind of remember that one. He's showing a pic of it. Kofi Kingston's first shirt, yeah, good push, and yeah, I like Kofi Kingston a lot, but coming out of Waco, Texas, Carl basically says, you know, wrestling in the heyday was unbelievable. I don't think these guys can match it. Give me the Freddie Blassies. Give me the John Toloses. Give me the Mil Mascaras. Wow. Good take. Bob, any thought on that? Got a guy coming out of Waco, Texas.
Well, this is my main thought on that. When you're watching things through the eyes of your youth, everything is different. I used to love the show Happy Days when I was a kid. If I watched it today, I would think the Fonz is the least cool guy on earth. But when I was a kid, it was fantastic. So when you're seeing things through the eyes of your youth, you're always going to look at it better, you know, differently than when you're older or you know what I mean? That's the way I see it.
Great.
Because everybody likes to embrace their youth, embrace the things that they cherish. Heck, I was a huge Evel Knievel fan when I was a kid. I still am, by the way. That hasn't changed.
Yeah.
But when you look at the eyes of your youth, I mean, you know, it's different. And you embrace that. You don't want to think of, you know, you're always going to think, like, I think Muhammad Ali is the greatest boxer of all time. Is he? That's my opinion. But there's a lot of great boxers today, I'm sure. I don't watch boxing because it's fake, but I don't like fake things. I'm just kidding.
Seeing,
yeah, you know what,
Bob?
Smoking Jim will agree with you on that because he likes Muhammad Ali. Smoking Jim Frazier, our co-host here on the show as well.
But again, it
yeah, he loves that.
You.
Yeah,
okay,
well,
Mark,
on that.
Up.
You know, I was young when I got married. I thought I was making a right decision. Look what happened.
All right, guys. Mark, do we have any more comments or questions here? Because we're coming down to 5 minutes left in the show. Let's open it up for some comments about anything. Bob, what do you have in mind?
Well, to go back to what that guy said, wrestling was so much better years ago. Go on the WWE Network. Yes, Peacock. Well, I call it the WWE Network. And watch the wrestling shows, All-Star Wrestling from the 70s. You watch those shows.
Yeah.
5 minutes in, you're going to question how wrestling survived then, let alone until today. That's how bad some of that stuff was. Sure, there was some great, but some of it was so bad, you know why people who didn't like it, and why people who liked it couldn't understand why, you know?
Well, and not only that, you know, Bob, when I look at wrestling, you know, it's kind of like peaks and valleys. The audience kind of, you know, there's a high and then there's a low. Then, like you were saying earlier, you know, these guys, you know, now you see, if you saw SummerSlam coming in with the bulldozer, it kind of reminded me of the, you know, the Stone Cold days when he'd come in, or maybe Alberto Del Rio with the fancy car and everything, and you know, and they're just trying to raise the bar to the thing, but how much can you raise it? And these fans want so much more. Pretty soon somebody's going to be jumping from the, you know, the concourse level, you know, into the ring. I mean, you're talking about Evel Knievel here. It's just how much more can you do to get it more and more outrageous to fill these or whet these people's appetites?
Yeah,
sure,
yeah, Mark, you know. Yeah, Mark, you know, you give people an inch sometimes and they want a mile. And there's a lot of people that always want a mile but won't take that inch. You know, and that's if you ever watched a movie Any Given Sunday, Al Pacino says we have to fight for that inch before we can go the mile. And you know, that's the truth. You know, nobody no more wants to fight for that inch. They immediately want the mile. And you know, wrestling fans are like that now. And you know, there's nothing that can be said for that. Everybody's like that now. You know, a lot of people want the mile before they can do the inch. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to wrestling fans, if I was half the man I used to be, I'd take a flamethrower to this place. Okay, that's an Al Pacino. The Never Woman loved that movie.
Give me a little Coco Beware and the Bad News Brown.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
I'll pass on that
Coco
one.
Beware, he disappeared.
Would...
yeah.
Yeah,
he went
he
into
sure
the Independence
did.
And stayed there.
Oh, we can go on and on with some of these guys.
Crazy.
Hey, as we wind this thing down, first of all, Bob, we got to get you back in here. How can people get a hold of you? Because with your insight, knowledge, expertise, one show can't handle it.
Well, they could go to ProWrestlingTees.com and buy a Bob Cook t-shirt. That would help me. I got back pain, and aspirin's not cheap, people. That's what I say.
Exactly.
But you know, the one thing people, wrestling fans should always remember this. First of all, always be a fan. Second of all, appreciate the hardworking men and women who bust their butts week in and week out in that professional wrestling ring because they love it, they have a passion for it, and it is basically their lives. So rather than crapping on it and them, appreciate them for what they do, and that's as far
Absolutely.
As it can go. Because, again, it's not changing your life. Just appreciate the fact they're there. Remember when the pandemic hit? What shut down? Everything but the wrestling business.
Yeah.
And if you can't appreciate you're not worth
anything. You're definitely right. You know, I get back problems too on that L4, L5. I'm going to have to send you some 800 Motrin. That cures the case for a while.
Don't even tease me.
No.
Yeah,
wait a minute. You forgot
exactly.
about those. You guys forgot about the old Doan's pills. Remember Doan's pills?
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah. Yeah. Now we're giving away our age. Hey, Ralph, I give it over to you. How can people get a hold of you, my friend?
RalphWilliams737@gmail.com. All my shows are on my YouTube channel. Please don't forget to subscribe. And also on Facebook, Wimkin and Twitter as well. And I want to thank everybody for their comments tonight, everybody for listening in, and everyone, all the supporters of the show. I want to thank Bob Cook for being here tonight. It was great having you. We'll have you come on again, talk some more wrestling. And it was just a great show tonight. Smoke and Jim will be back next week, Clayton Trudor. And we're going to have another great Wrestle Talk show here on Blog Talk Radio, as we are every Thursday. We gave you wrestling every week, everybody. Now we're giving you 45 minutes, everybody, and we'll give you a whole lot more and a whole lot more better content as well, because we are Wrestle Talk with Mark Mancini, myself, Smoke and Jim, and the contributors, Clayton Trudor, and we're going to put Bob Cook in there as a contributor as well. So
yeah,
thank you.
And on that
and,
note, guys,
everybody,
yep, thank you very much for tuning in.
Everybody have a good night and be safe.
Yeah, exactly, and we love what you guys did. Over 400 lives, so thanks to that one, we're picking up steam, and it's because of you great listeners. Stay tuned at the top of the hour. Cook ain't cooking, but it'll be the cooking podcast with Eli, John, Peggy, and Ray. Catch that one. And then tomorrow, Brock Bucks in the Berg, bright and early from San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge with Tarek Brock. Till then, have a blessed one. Thanks for tuning in. And remember the archive, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Good night, everybody.